Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Between the Ropes podcast. We appreciate everybody for listening, for downloading, for subscribing to the podcast on all the different platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Mikey is once again on the road. I apologize for everybody that's looking forward to his drink of the week. But as we know here, Mike does not drink and drive.
Well, it is against the law for me to drink and drive. I mean, maybe I don't. Let's not say that I do. I don't want to confess to that on radio. I don't want the tape audio recording of it getting out to the police.
I know for a fact you do not drink and drive. Maybe some cheer wine, but that's about
it. Well, I had some green tea earlier. I'm trying to cut out the soft drinks, Brian, and I hear it's not good for my waistline. I do want to apologize for the last 2 weeks. I know I have thrown us for a loop. I know we talked about next week. We will be back with the video broadcast in its full glory on Thursday. But this week, again, I am traveling for my day job. You and I, we both do a lot of things. We do cover wrestling. We talk about wrestling in the podcast. We do some writing about wrestling. You write for a few outlets. I've done some freelance writing across a number of topics. But one of the other things that I do in my life is make a living doing some training for companies. So I create trainings, and sometimes I have to travel to help deliver those trainings, and it helps, you know, pay my retirement and pay my insurance and things like that. And in addition to the writing and media that we do, I know you produce baseball games and you produce sporting events and do radio work too. So you and I, we just stay pretty busy, the both of us, I think.
I fly in a helicopter as my day job as well.
Well, that's pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome thing to do. But, you know, honestly, though, we do lots of things, and it's kind of what you do in this line of work. If you do media work, you mix it with other stuff nowadays. But I do love the podcast, and I love our fans, and pro wrestling is still, gosh darn it, it's one of my favorite things in the world.
Gosh darn it, it's so much fun. The thing is, too, that I thought there was a lot of good wrestling this week when it came to WWE, and I think it's getting overshadowed because when you look at, so the WWE Payback pay-per-view was this past Sunday, and yep. I thought there was some really good matches out there. I thought the main event was a lot of fun between Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. I thought Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe was a good match. Hardy Boys against Cesaro and Sheamus, that was a good solid match. Jericho and Owens was a good match. Austin Aries against Neville, that was a good match. I had no problem really with Alexa Bliss and Bayley. And then when you go to WWE television, like the main event on Raw was this killer three-way
phenomenal
match between
yep.
Seth Rollins and The Miz and Finn Balor. And then on SmackDown, you got another good match between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. And instead of that being the conversation, I think the one thing that's really kind of taken over wrestling talk this week was how bad did the House of Horrors suck?
yeah. It's true, though, because I think when you have a good show, and people like Payback, I think it was good. I think you're right. We had some good wrestling. I think in the grander scheme of things, though, it's not going to be one of those shows we look back on and just find super duper memorable or anything like that. But yeah, you look at the reaction to the House of Horrors and how it's overshadowed all the good work WWE has done. And I was not as critical of the outing at WrestleMania between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. I thought it was fine. A lot of people I've come to find out did not like it at all. But if you talk about wrestling this week, it's been about how terrible the House of Horrors was. And so, you know, they tried something there. And I give them credit for that, but it was too produced. It felt like it was an incomplete idea. And unfortunately, it made the product look very bad in what could have been a very good week.
Well, if you're going to do a House of Horrors match, don't you have to pull out all stops and make it something that's like really scary, that's really kind of this crazy out-of-the-box idea? Instead, you go into this house, and the only thing that's creepy about it is there was a bunch of dolls that were hanging from the ceiling. And
well, yeah, Brian, you know, the thing about it for me, and I'm going to beat a dead horse here with this. I think the biggest thing for me with this match is it felt too produced. They had this creepy music going on in the background. They had multiple camera angles cut away. They had all of this stuff that felt like, okay, you're trying to channel that broken Matt Hardy stuff from TNA and Impact Wrestling. but you're doing it in this weird Hollywood-esque way. And I wish they had just gone to the old school Attitude Era. We're going to meet somewhere and we're going to fight, but we're just going to have cameras here like it's a normal wrestling thing. And I think that would have benefited them a little bit better. But I think you have some valid criticisms as well.
Well, Jerry Lawler, even on his own podcast, said, man, he goes, I thought that match was underwhelming because he was looking forward to, like, what kind of cool tricks could WWE do? You know, if they're going to produce it, they're going to come up with some stuff, really, you know, go all your way to do it, whether it's stuff that's done in post or if they're creating an environment that really is like this scary house. And there was nothing like that. And
yeah.
And then on top of that, what does everybody remember for that match? Randy Orton had a refrigerator dropped on him. Bray Wyatt took a limo back to the building to where they could finish the wrestling match, and Randy Orton, after being squashed by a fridge, somehow showed up, and we have no idea how he got there.
I'm going to tell you, Randy Orton put that fridge over big time. That fridge literally pinned the world champion in WWE. So I got to give that fridge credit. I hear it's going to fight Jinder Mahal next week, SmackDown Television, for the true number one contendership. It's going places, dude.
But I will say this, though. I didn't have a problem with the involvement of Jinder Mahal, you know, in that match. I mean, it made a lot of sense for Jinder to get involved along with the Singh brothers. And, I mean, it's a no DQ match. It's something that we thought was going to happen. And quite honestly, it made sense that it did happen because it furthers that program with Jinder and also gave Bray Wyatt a win, which he needs. Whether it doesn't matter how he gets the win, he just needs a win.
Well, yes. And I think that was the whole let's drop the championship stipulation here. But I'm going to go back to this. It doesn't make any sense they dropped that championship stipulation. It doesn't make any sense the way this match was built around a title, and then they took that away. So I question so many things. The interference of Jinder Mahal, you're right. That was cool. That was spot on. It made Jinder Mahal look pretty big time. So I think that was furthered in a very positive way. But overall, this storyline ended up being a giant miss. Which disappoints me because Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton heading into WrestleMania was one of those sleeper rivalries that you're like, okay, they've taken their time with this. There have been some logical fallacies here with Randy Orton giving up his title shot, all of that. But they're recovering, and we're going to have a good match at Mania and continue this into the post-Mania season. And that hasn't happened, and this whole thing feels hot-shotted. And at the end of the day, Bray Wyatt gets a win. He needed one. But does he really look that much better? He looked foolish at the pay-per-view for letting Randy Orton basically trick him. So does he really look that much better in the long run for this feud and for this rivalry? I don't think so.
No, he doesn't. And I'm totally disappointed by it because, like you said, I thought it was like one of those kind of sleeper programs, even though it was for a world championship way, you know, it came to WrestleMania. But I thought that was going to be, you know, the sleeper match of Mania that everybody wasn't talking about, and it could be a really, really good match.
Right.
And it turned out to be a bit of a dud. You know, I'm being nice there for some people. And so it's like, okay, then let's bring it back. Okay. And then they do the stipulation. We're going to do a House of Horrors. Nobody understands what that is. Then out of nowhere, when we all think like, oh, this is a WrestleMania rematch, that means the championship's on the line, then like, they just stopped talking about the championship thing, like, oh, hopefully nobody will pay attention that Randy Orton is actually the SmackDown champion and he's not defending the title. And it's just like, it's such a weird program. I'm so disappointed by it because I thought they were going to have good matches. And I still don't know if they could have or not because, you know, both the matches that they had like these weird elements to them. And I if they had just had like a straightforward singles match, maybe they could have had a really good match. I still don't know.
Right. And the thing is, the weird elements didn't do enough to justify their means. And so, you know, there was no great way this House of Horrors match could have said, okay, Bray Wyatt really is mysterious and all this stuff, but it never got there. So to your point, it feels underwhelming. I think it's really weird that Raw was like, you know what we should do? We should let Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt fight it out on our pay-per-view. Also, we should bring on Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho to fight for the United States Championship, even though Raw has no chance of getting it back. There's all these weird logical fallacies that WWE has never addressed, the dropping of the championship from that feud. So, again, it's a weird way to book a pay-per-view and to book a month of television. that I feel like WWE needs to do a better job of in the future of filling in these holes for fans, because they Vince McMahon must think we're all stupid, and that's cool, that's fine, but we're not. And I find it irritating as hell to be overlooked as a fan, and in my brain, to be overlooked in this way by the people booking these wrestling shows. That being said, you know, Brian, the thing about it for me is, that being said, heading forward, Bray Wyatt has a possible new rivalry. What do you do with Randy Orton, though?
I don't know what you do with Randy Orton right now. I mean, that's something that they've got to figure out. I mean, you're going to do this. You're going to do the match with Jinder Mahal. Here's the big question that comes to that. Okay, so we're 2 weeks away, or less than 2 weeks from that match now, okay? So that's going to be at Backlash.
Yep.
And they're going to do Jinder Mahal against Randy Orton. How are you feeling this week when it comes to the rivalry between those two and the chances that Jinder Mahal actually becomes the world champion?
Jinder Mahal looks like championship material right now.
You think so?
I might be in the minority here, and that's okay, but since Jinder Mahal made his big splash a few weeks back, and then since then, when he's basically one-upped Randy Orton in a couple of television shows and pay-per-view, I think he looks big time. And I get his history. I get that he's been a jobber for forever, but their SmackDown, that writing team, is positioning him in the correct way to put the championship on him next month if they want to. I also think it stands to reason the way they are elevating the United States Championship, and you saw it this week on WWE television, that's almost going to overshadow the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and maybe that's why they want to put this championship on Jinder Mahal, because you are going to have such high-caliber talents fighting for the United States Championship. It doesn't matter if Jinder Mahal is kind of a step-back champion to the writing teams and to WWE, that is.
I will say this, okay, I agree with you when it comes to the SmackDown writing team and what they're doing to position Jinder Mahal. When you look at the match that he had this past week with Sami Zayn, it was okay. It was nothing special. And he still has his limitations in the ring, to say the least, including, you know, I know he didn't mean to do it, but this is the second time he's waffled a guy in the ring, because he did it with Balor, and now he did it with Sami, you know, this past week. I do like the idea that he is a cheating heel champion, that he gets help from, you know, outside interference.
Right.
And if they really want to say, we want to make a new star, and Jinder is the guy that we want to make, and we want to have a true heel, then my response to that would be, go all the way with it. Put the title on him. You know what? We could sit here, we can moan and groan and do whatever, but if you really believe we need another heel, and this is the guy we want to do something around, don't half-ass it. Don't have Orton win that championship or keep the championship. Have Jinder win it. And you know what? If people want to go crazy and nuts and throw their arms up in the air going, oh, my God, what the hell is WWE doing? A bunch of freaking whacked out crazy guys and Vince McMahon. What the hell is, you know, he thinking these days? And, you know, why is he putting it on this guy or whatever? Then fine. Get that kind of reaction from your crowd, you know, as long as it's not mean that people are tuning away. Even if it's something that's short term to get heat on the guy. If you want to do it, then fine, man. Just, you've got to find a way where you don't just go halfway, because if Orton keeps that championship, what do you do with Jinder after that? And I'm not saying we want a situation like Jack Swagger, or even there was, you know, an opportunity to pass like Rey Mysterio won the title. And then, like, I think he lost like every match for like the next 6 months before he dropped the title or whatever it was. If you're going to do something with Jinder, I almost feel like you have to have him win the title and do a little something with him. And it doesn't even have to be a long run, but otherwise, if he loses it right off the bat, if he loses this match, what are you going to do with him after that? Unless it's like it's got to be a pretty strong match, too. It can't be one of these, hey, the dude lost in like 8 minutes and got, you know, like a third of the offense.
Right. Well, and you talked about Randy Orton, or you said Jinder Mahal doesn't have great matches, and I want to overlook the unintentional injury proneness he's had the couple times you mentioned, but in general, his matches are, and they're okay. I could say the same thing about Randy Orton 80% of the time. He has some good matches. He has the potential for really good matches. 75% of the time, he has just okay matches. They exist. They're there, right? So I want to give Jinder Mahal a pass on that. I will also say this. Yes, you should go all the way. let me ask you this, fans who are concerned about Jinder Mahal winning the championship, and I'm not, hey, listen, I've not been in the shadows saying, yeah, for years, Jinder Mahal is the guy. He's going to be the next big champion, because we've not seen that. I think this position was really meant for somebody like The Miz, and when they decided to move The Miz over, they kind of had to fill the spot with somebody else who had those similar heel-like tendencies, and they've decided to elevate Jinder for, I assume, a variety of reasons. But which sounds more exciting to you? Randy Orton holding onto that belt for the next 3 months until SummerSlam, defeating various heel performers and eventually going on to lose that championship at SummerSlam, or Randy Orton losing it in just a couple of weeks and seeing what the heck WWE is going to do with a Jinder Mahal heel run. Which one of those opportunities sounds more exciting to you, Brian?
Well, the Jinder Mahal scenario is something that's at least different, because with Randy is an exceptional worker. He really is. But people would sit there and go, I've seen him for so long. Is he oversaturated? And is he boring just because he's never been an electric guy when it comes to his personality? He's awesome in the ring. I mean, he could have great matches. It's just, you know, there's that little bit that people are still hesitant to really get behind. I mean, people see him as a big star, but you know, he's missing that one little trait. And it's funny because not too long ago, Triple H did an interview and he even said, he goes, I'm still waiting on something for Randy Orton. There's still something. There's still a little something. So, you know, I would say the Jinder Mahal scenario is the more exciting one. And by the way, let me throw this caveat out there, because this all could have been avoided on the SmackDown brand when we're talking about who's exciting and where to go with everything, if they had simply done one thing, and that was, if they had brought over Anderson and Gallows, when they did the draft, if they had brought over the club and put them with AJ Styles and kept AJ as a heel, and I understand people want to get behind AJ, but if you use the club as a mechanism to keep AJ as a heel and you have that faction together as a heel, even if down the road they end up turning babyface as a group, but if you keep them as a heel and Anderson and Gallows get behind and help AJ, and maybe AJ becomes the champion, or at least has a feud with Orton, that's something I think people could really get behind, because we've seen a little bit of Orton and AJ, but I mean, we haven't seen all of it, and those two guys could have had incredible matches.
I think that's the kind of person Randy Orton needs to be paired with to see him excel in the ring. Whenever he bites his fangs, his proverbial fangs, into a really good feud, he can have good matches. He can have good segments in the ring on the mic. AJ Styles would have been a great opponent for that. I see why they flipped AJ Styles, but your point is still valid. I also think, I said this earlier, The Miz would have been a fantastic opponent to go up against Randy Orton and to fill this similar spot of a, what they call the proverbial part of my language, chicken shit heel, right? That's what The Miz is, and he would have been great to go up against Orton like that. Orton strikes me as one of those guys who he's fun to see kind of chase the championship a little bit, but once he gets the belt, once he's had that moment of standing up on the turnbuckle and throwing out his arms with that championship around his waist, it's all boring after that. There's nothing exciting or enticing about him having a championship run again. I loved his feud with Christian a number of years back, but other than that, it's so many, I think we've just been, you know, dulled by so many rivalries with John Cena, et cetera, that it doesn't feel like it matters that much anymore. And I'm going to say this. Raw has an absentee champion, a champion that will likely not defend his belt until a pay-per-view name that we'll discuss here in a little bit. But that's a boring show without that kind of champion. And then you're going to look at SmackDown, who might have a fresh new face as a champion. I think Jinder Mahal being the champion makes a lot of sense when you're comparing the two brands. And I'm going to ask fans this again. You don't want Jinder Mahal to be your world champion. I get that. But which one sounds more interesting? Jinder Mahal being your world champion for the next month, or not having your universal champion for the next month and a half?
And that's something, too, though. Like, I understand, you know, Brock Lesnar's not going to be there for every show. But what was the word that we heard before WrestleMania? Was that Brock Lesnar's going to be around more often coming up here. And we interviewed Paul Heyman at WrestleMania Radio Row, and I asked him that question. Could we see more Brock Lesnar? And he said in Paul Heyman speak, well, if my client Brock Lesnar wins the championship, it would behoove him and the WWE and make a lot of sense that he would be around a lot more considering he is the champion. So basically he was saying, yeah, Paul, he's going to be around a lot more because we knew that Brock was winning the title. So it, they've done this before where that championship has not been around.
Yeah.
But it really feels like something that they miss right now because Brock is not there. I thought that Brock was going to be back by now. I really thought he'd be back in May. And now it looks like he might not be back until July. I mean, right. we don't know exactly who's going to be around. And then, like, it's so awkward the way that they're doing stuff because they really missed that championship on that brand. They do this segment on Monday night where you've got Seth Rollins giving this promo and talking about, I want Brock Lesnar. I want the Beast. You know, I already got rid of Triple H and I've just beat Samoa Joe. And now I want Brock Lesnar. I want the championship. And Finn Balor comes out and he's just like, hey, you know what? I never even lost the title. I should get a title shot. I want Brock Lesnar. And by the way, you know what? You're the one that screwed me over in the first place because you injured me. And then they turn this whole thing into The Miz coming out. And the next thing you know, it's, oh, let's have a three-way, but not for the Universal Championship,
right,
not
right.
for the big prize. It's for the Intercontinental Championship because Dean Ambrose got involved too, and he's the IC champion. And he turned this whole thing into, oh, well, why would you want to go after Brock Lesnar when you could go after me? You know, because whoever has the IC title is basically the number one contender, which is something that's news to me, especially right. in today's WWE. Right. So it's just like, you turn this whole thing into, oh, well, why go for the World Championship? Why go for the Universal Championship when you can have the IC title? Oh, look at this little shiny thing over here. And it's so convoluted and so weird, and it doesn't take away from the work of the guys, but it makes no sense in the yep. way they're telling this story.
Yep. Illogical storytelling is going to be the death of this company someday. They do these things that leave fans, especially true fans who tune in week after week, looking for that thread of consistency. They leave us scratching our heads wondering, why are they doing things in this fashion? We've been saying for months, shouldn't Finn be mad at Seth Rollins about this whole injury thing, but yet he teamed with him the night after Mania? It doesn't make any sense, and now they bring it back up. Now it's like, well, we'll bring it up when it's convenient for us. So, most importantly, though, Brock Lesnar not being there with the championship after having a run with Bill Goldberg as your absentee champion has made the Universal Championship feel practically pointless. I get it. Brock Lesnar's a big name. He's a champion that nobody can beat. But you've had a rivalry over this belt that, excuse me, Mr. McMahon, over this championship that has amounted to nobody even being on Raw with the championship. Why should fans care who the champion is if they're not around? And I just want to bring this back up. 30 days, right? A yep. champion is supposed to defend his championship every 30 days. They've used this as reasons in recent years to strip people of their championships whenever they were injured. So why can Brock Lesnar get away with that?
That is a very good question. I was going to bring up that same thing. It's like, you've used this as a vehicle before of why a guy has to defend right. the championship. What the heck is going on? Now, in the meantime, we are getting some strong matches on Raw.
Sure.
That, okay, if you were somebody that only watched Raw and you never watched SmackDown, buckle up. You're getting ready to see some Dean Ambrose against The Miz, okay? Which is perfectly fine. And then, it's the feud that never ends. They're just going right. to switch back and forth between brands.
It's just like John Cena versus Randy Orton, right? On replay.
It will be Sheamus against Randy Orton every time we need a match. Let's just throw those two guys out there.
Yep.
And then you're going to get Finn Balor against Bray Wyatt, and you're also going to get Seth Rollins against Samoa Joe. I can't complain about that. I really can't. But I still miss something from Brock Lesnar not being there, from the Universal Championship not being there. I understand he's not going to be there immediately after WrestleMania, but we are starting to get into this area where he needs to show up.
Yeah.
He needs to be around. And, you know, now somebody that is around, at least, is Braun Strowman. Okay, so I want to talk about that Strowman-Roman Reigns match.
Uh-huh.
For all the grief that people want to give Roman Reigns, oh, this guy sucks, I'm sick of him and whatever, the dude can work. We know this.
Sure.
He again had another very good match. And WWE has done a great job in building up Braun Strowman. That guy has over-exceeded in expectations. And the crowd was totally into that match. Am I going to say it was a five-star classic or anything? No, it wasn't Steamboat versus Savage at Mania. But it was still a very good match.
Steamboat versus Savage at Mania.
There's Steamboat and Savage, and then there's Strowman and Reigns at the 27 payback. I mean, I just put them, depending on the way that you want to look at it. I mean, some people might put it the other way around. I don't know. Like another one, like Flair Steamboat, Flair Funk from 1989, the I Quit match. I don't know. It's all up to you. If you want to put Strowman and Reigns above that's totally up to you. But, it was still a really good match. The crowd was totally in that match. I mean, they were eating it up.
Yeah.
And they did the right thing. I mean, Reigns came out there. He's all bandaged up. He's injured. Strowman got a lot of the offense. Roman's fighting back. He's the underdog in this because he got the hell kicked out of him. And, he kept fighting, but he just didn't have enough. And in the end, Braun put him away. Now, they did do the thing afterwards where Reigns was getting his revenge, in the back and slamming Braun with the ambulance door, which you can make the argument maybe they didn't need to do that. But they did the right thing when it came to Braun Strowman. They made him look good against an injured Roman Reigns, and those guys had a great match.
They did play up the injury angle a little bit, which is fine because Braun Strowman gave Roman Reigns an injury. I was okay with it. I think you're right. Roman Reigns took a beating, and Braun Strowman looked strong, and that's what needed to happen in this match. Braun Strowman took such a back seat heading into WrestleMania that you're going to lose a lot of that momentum here if you did not make the right call. Braun Strowman was the right call. I liked the post-match beatdown. I thought the blood capsules were an interesting twist, but God bless Roman Reigns for selling the hell out of it. He's going to the back, coughing up blood on the walls. So nice Hollywood touches there. But most importantly, Braun Strowman just looked like the beast that wouldn't quit, and it made me want to see Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar. If that was the intent here, they did it. They accomplished that, and maybe we see Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar in his first title defense. I don't know, but God, he looked like a monster after Sunday night. Now, running through the ambulance door kind of bothered me a little bit because he looked like an idiot. When he missed Roman Reigns and just charged straight forward into those boxes. Also, an injured Roman Reigns still got the better of him at the end of the night in the post-payback little right. segment there. Yeah, but that's a small detail in my mind.
Who looked dumber, Braun Strowman for running through an ambulance door or Bill Goldberg back in the day and smashing and slicing his arm open by smashing it through a car window?
Well, obviously Bill Goldberg. I mean, he's Bill Goldberg, okay? Do you remember that time? I just want to bring this up. Do you remember that time we interviewed Bill Goldberg before SummerSlam last year? And you said, do you think people will know who you are? And he was like, really? Really, Brian?
I didn't ask it like that, but yeah, he did get bad at me.
I'm pretty sure you peed a little bit, okay? I'm pretty sure you peed in your pants a little bit.
I looked at him. He gave me side eye, okay? He went side eye on me. I totally admit that. And maybe I didn't ask the question the way I could have. He just perceived it one way, and I perceived it another, and I asked it again in a different way, and he was cool with me after that.
You said, no, I mean this. And it was like not the question you asked at all. You tweaked it in a way that was
Between that and my favorite was I go, hey, you were a guy that easily stepped away from wrestling. Do you miss the physicality that it brings? And he goes, I train Muay Thai 5 days a week. That's the most physicality that you can get.
Right. Right. And yet he comes into a wrestling ring and still doesn't take a bump for 6 months. So there you go.
He took one bump and then he had a match at WrestleMania and he took, what, like 10 suplexes? He took some bumps there.
That's a way to live off your name recognition, though, dude. I mean, he probably got paid so much money for all of that. It would make us sick.
Good for him, man. He should have. Yeah. He should have.
Yeah.
So, hey, we've been talking about Lesnar, okay? So I think we're going to get Braun Strowman against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. But I also think we are going to get a Brock Lesnar title match in June or July. So if it's not against Strowman, and I believe it would not be against Roman either, because I think Roman's going to be next year, or it's at least going to be after SummerSlam. Who do you think would get the title shot against Brock?
Oh, that's tough. Nobody jumps to mind. I mean, Finn would make a lot of sense. He'd be a good interim feud, but he's obviously got Bray Wyatt right now. I don't know. That's a tough question.
Well, that's the whole thing. Do you really want it to be Finn or Seth? Because you know they're not going to win, and that's something you do wonder, like, could that be something that's money down the line?
I think Seth makes a lot of sense, and here's why. Because Seth has had a feud and a match with Brock Lesnar before, about almost 2 years ago, for the championship, and it was fine, and that match, if I remember correctly, did not come to fruition because The Undertaker, Sting, somebody interfered. And so if that's the decision they go with, it might make sense. And while Seth won't get the win, he'll at least get the rub from being in the ring with Brock Lesnar.
Bray Wyatt might be the right guy to do it because Bray could lose. I don't know if I necessarily want to see that. You know what? There is a part of me that would like to see The Miz get that match.
Oh.
But here's the thing why I think they cannot put The Miz in that match.
Okay.
Because he would get beaten up so bad that I think it would almost turn him babyface.
Yeah. Well, especially with his mic skills. Yeah, that's a concern.
You like to see The Miz against Paul Heyman on the mic in the weeks leading up to that match?
Yes, please. Yes, please. I just love how everybody's finally recognizing how great The Miz is. He has been really good in the last year, and people are like, yeah, he deserves to have a championship run. I know, people. I've been saying that for years. Thank you very much.
Well, we were saying it about how he was going to win the title on SmackDown and everything, and then they decided to do this draft, and they shift him, and we immediately could see this, and I think some other people could, but now other people are all on this, oh, The Miz was so hot, he's been so great, now he's not going to sniff the championship now that he's over on Raw. And I'm like, yeah, he's not, because they've got three huge guys in Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, and Roman Reigns that are in that mix.
Yep.
And if they're going to put somebody else in there, I would say it would probably be Seth. So you've got those guys, and as good as The Miz has been, they're just not going to put him in that position, I don't think, with those, especially those big guys around. Like, if it was Seth, then I can understand it, just because the size differential isn't as big. But they're not going to, I don't think they're going to put Miz in there. You know, that's why they had Miz win that match, because The Miz against Dean Ambrose makes sense. But, you know, they're not going to do something where, oh, well, The Miz doesn't have a dance partner. Oh, well, maybe Brock Lesnar is going to be around. We'll put him with Brock. I mean, I just don't see that happening.
And I don't want to belabor this point too much, but I think The Miz is not going to get a championship shot. You're right. He needs to be back on SmackDown where he could get one. But I think the bigger loss here is somebody like Finn. Finn is being completely left out of the championship picture. And he is the guy that moved up and very quickly elevated himself into the main event of Raw and won the championship, the Universal Championship, your first ever Universal Champion, and they still bill him as that, but not being near that belt has lost him some of that momentum that he gained when he first debuted in the main roster. So we talk about The Miz and how much of a shame it is, and I love The Miz, you know, so of course I agree with that. But I think the bigger loser here is Finn Balor, and I don't know what you do. Maybe you put him with big names until then. Bray Wyatt's a start, but you got to keep him elevated and get a championship back on him at some point in the near future. I think, honestly, after SummerSlam, you should move Finn to SmackDown.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe it could. You know, I will say this when it comes to Finn. The thing that really stands out right now, it's like, it's been so long since we've seen Finn work. Like, to watch him get in the ring on Monday and have a match, it's just like, it feels like it's been years since I've seen Finn Balor wrestle. It's just weird to see him out there. It's fantastic. And you can see why. I mean, look at that match on Monday night between Miz and Finn and Seth and how great it was and how the people were sitting on the edge of their seat. Nobody knew who was going to win and just everything that they pulled out in that match. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, you got to give all three guys credit for the match. I know some people say, Miz, whatever. You know what? He was in the match, and he didn't do anything wrong. So, I mean, I want to see more of that. I mean, that's one of the better Raw main events we've seen all year, right?
I think so. And I think it's a testament to what we can do. You know, in some ways, it's just that this Universal Championship has become so bogged down with your big men, with your Brock Lesnar, with your Bill Goldberg, with your Braun Strowman, with your Roman Reigns, that the focus should really be on those three guys. And I get that Roman Reigns is having struggles with getting over with the audience, but you take that level of talent that we saw on Raw Monday night without Braun Strowman, without Roman Reigns, without Brock Lesnar, and if you made that your picture for Raw and you had the picture you have on SmackDown, WWE would be in a really good place. It just feels like sometimes we're so caught up in this big guy syndrome, and that's where the championship rests right now. The Universal Championship is with these big guys, that it's really bringing that whole belt down a notch.
What did you call that thing?
That's bringing that whole title down a notch. Is that better?
That's the proper word. Hey, I wanted to bring this point up too. Okay, so I apologize if I've done this before on the show. But I'm getting old and I forget things apparently. So
you
I wanted
said
to bring
it,
this
not
up.
Me.
Okay,
you said it, not me.
I'm an old man. Uh-huh. So WWE will always say this: we listen to the audience. We listen to our audience. We give you guys what you want. And that's always goes to my argument of they're trying to provide these moments on a week-to-week basis and get these cutaway shots of the crowd and whatnot, okay? So if WWE is listening to its audience and giving the audience what it wants, I have this question.
Okay.
Because of the way the audience is now in today's culture, and I understand that WWE is sports entertainment and a lot of its audience is different from just the... There's like the WWE audience, and then there's the rest of the wrestling audience, okay? But we've seen this resurgence over the last year, 18 months of independent wrestling. We don't even have to count the UK wrestling, because that's an incredibly hot scene as well. But if we just look at independent wrestling, and we see how hot it is right now, how much it's like ingrained in the culture, a little bit more than what it has been. I mentioned UK. If you want to bring that up, you can. New Japan wrestling, you know, that's hot as well. So if we look at wrestling from that standpoint, okay, and it's different from WWE in that obviously there are storylines, but it's more in-ring based. And if we look at it from that standpoint alone, okay, and if WWE listens to its audience, and a lot more of the wrestling audience in general is really into really good, hot wrestling matches, mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be a smart move for WWE to say, hey, you know what? Let's scale back a little bit on the sports entertainment. We're always going to have that. That's going to be part of what we do. But instead of maybe doing 50-50 of sports entertainment and wrestling, maybe it's a 60-40. Maybe it's 65-35 when it comes to in-ring action and the sports entertainment stuff. And here's more to the argument, too. If you do something like that, the guys that are more of the sports entertaining guys, they really stand out even more because now it's a little bit more of their lane. And then for everybody else, okay, they're going to have these really hot wrestling matches. And I'm not saying that they're doing main event WrestleMania style match every week or whatnot, but there's going to be something where instead of a 4-minute match, maybe guys are having an 8-minute match, unless a 4-minute match is warranted from a standpoint that a guy's just going to totally dominate the other guy. But maybe there is more of a focus put on the in-ring action to where I'm not saying they're going to do a 30-minute match or a 60-minute match, but they could have more wrestling in the ring, because it sure seems to me right now in our culture, and maybe I'm totally misreading this because I am talking about WWE, in that there are more people that are really digging the incredible athletes that are out there in the ring, and they want to see the in-ring action.
Yeah, I would counter, though. I think you're right. The demand right now is for indie-style, very technical-based wrestling. You know, you get a lot of high-flying, but also mixed with this really cool mat-based technical style that was not seen 15, 20 years ago as much. But I would argue against your point and say that they've tried to do a little bit of that by having SmackDown be a wrestling-heavy show and Raw do a lot more of that entertainment aspect. Yeah, we've had our James Ellsworth and Carmella segments, and yeah, we've had our storylines, but I also think they've still managed to strike a pretty good balance between the two shows as far as giving Raw some wrestling, but they do a lot more, you know, these 3-on-3 tag matches, and so I feel like they've touched on that. I won't say they've done it as much as they did back whenever the very first brand extension happened in the early 2000s, whenever it was very obvious SmackDown's your wrestling show, and your entertainment show is Raw, right? But they've done some of that, and if you want to go really insider with the wrestling, you really tune into NXT. Could they do more of it? Sure. But I think the value here is make every brand different. Go back. Make Raw, very obviously, your entertainment show. Make SmackDown, very obviously, your wrestling show. NXT is your insider wrestling show. I think that accomplishes your goal.
By the way, when you mentioned NXT, can I make a tweak to a prediction that I had said before?
Are you going to predict the Drifter is your world champion in a year?
No, I don't think so. So I predicted that at the NXT TakeOver show that's taking place on May 20th, Saturday coming up here in a few weeks, I predicted that they would cut to the front row and there would be Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
I think I'm wrong. I do not think Adam Cole is going to be sitting in the front row. I think it's going to be Kyle O'Reilly.
Wow. Okay.
I think Adam Cole is going to be coming in there, but I think it's going to be there's this waiting period that's going on between guys that leave Ring of Honor and guys that go to WWE, and I think it's going to be a few months before we see Cole there. Now, mind you, I truly believe that Cole has not made up his mind yet, and maybe he's not going there because he's not only getting an offer from WWE, and maybe that is where he's going to go, but there's also belief that, and he's talked about this openly, too, in the past, that New Japan is after him, and they want him as well. And that would be a situation where he could still work Ring of Honor, but instead of it being Ring of Honor's his main focus and maybe he works some New Japan shows, it would be the other way around, where he is a New Japan talent that works some Ring of Honor shows.
Yeah. That so could be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, as of Monday, Adam Cole is a free agent.
Well, and honestly, with guys having the freedom they have right now to bounce around with the path that's been set forward by Cody Rhodes, that's been followed up by guys like Jack Swagger, the Young Bucks, I wouldn't blame him. WWE is the place to be. It is the scene. NXT is the scene. But with the potential you have right now to go establish your brand in this really meaningful way and carry that over, guys like Drew McIntyre carrying that brand back into the WWE fold and that momentum, hey, listen, there are offers out there, and the big dance will still want you in a few years if you are as good as you think you are.
Cole has basically had an offer on the table from WWE for like the last 2 or 3 years.
And I guarantee you it gets bigger every time they talk about it.
It might, yeah. It might. I mean, he has known for a while that they want him, like whenever he wants to come in. But he also knows, like, there are other things I want to accomplish first as well.
Sure.
And one of the big things that he has wanted to do is work for New Japan. And over this past year, he has gotten that opportunity. And he got to be on the Wrestle Kingdom show. And he's gotten to do some shows, you know, with New Japan Town here in the United States. And he's done some shows overseas. But does he want to do more? I mean, when you look at the landscape of everything right now, look at what AJ Styles did. AJ went over there. He worked for 2 or 3 years. Things went great. Then he came over to WWE. You can look at a guy like Kenny Omega, where Kenny has made a career for himself over in Japan. When he wants to come to WWE, I'm sure he can come to WWE.
Sure.
You know, he's got to be happy with what they're going to be offering him as well, not only monetarily, but also storyline-wise and how they want to use him. But that's going to be there. It's just now Adam Cole, he's not old by any stretch of the imagination. He's 27 years old. He's got a big decision to make. And we'll see exactly what he does. If he does sign with WWE, he's not going to go straight to the main roster. And he doesn't want to. He wants to go to NXT. So there's a lot of things to weigh there. But I think O'Reilly is coming in there. That's not even a secret. It's just when. I don't think it's an if he comes. I think it's more of a when he comes in there. And maybe they could have Adam Cole, and there could be some other guys that could be coming as well. So, I mean, you know, for all the complaining we did about NXT and how low, you know, the talent pool is there, that could change drastically here within the next couple of months. We've been talking about it. But a lot of that's been based on Adam Cole and if he's coming in there. I think when it's all said and done, I think Adam is coming in. It might not be for another 3 to 6 months. But I think that will be the timetable for him, and I might be dead wrong. Who knows? Maybe he does sign with New Japan, and maybe he goes over there for 2 years.
You touched on this earlier, too. The big part is, I mentioned the money, but the opportunity to travel the world, and then, I think bigger, the opportunity creatively to go somewhere and stretch your wings in a new and meaningful way. Well, that's something you can't turn down right now. I mean, listen, I'm as excited as the next person to have the Hardy Boys back into WWE, but now that they're here, we got the pop WrestleMania, and they're the champions again. If what we have to look forward to is just 3 more years of the Hardy Boys wrestling the same tag team matches that we kind of expected they would, the same tag team style that we know them for, that doesn't excite me creatively. And I can understand that for a lot of talent, it wouldn't excite them creatively either.
Oh, I totally agree with that. By the way, you love the Hardys. Were you willing to pull out one of your own teeth to give to Jeff Hardy when he got a tooth knocked out?
I was. I was already in the process of doing it. You know, I do live in North Carolina where the Hardy Boys are from, so I was going to go meet them at the airport if he needed it. I told you I ran into Jeff Hardy after WrestleMania, right?
He was on your flight.
He was. And I just went up and said, hey, good job in the match last night. You guys knocked out of the park. And nobody realized it was him when he came onto the flight because he, like, showed up at the last second, and I saw him go and buy some painkillers from the little bitty kiosk. Or maybe it was a 5-hour energy. I don't remember. Before getting on the plane. But afterwards, at baggage claim, people were walking up to him and getting his autograph. There was this one fan. He was freaking out. He's like, do you know who that is? That's Jeff Hardy. And he got his pin. It was, like, the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure Jeff was thrilled about that, too.
Yeah, he was nice. Jeff was taking it in stride.
He's nice. Jeff is a really good guy, but I can only imagine after, like, this long weekend
right.
where he worked, like, back-to-back ladder matches, and then he worked Raw, the Raw show, you know, and, like, his body had to be aching something fierce,
yep.
man.
Yep, you know it.
Before we get to some questions, let's get to one other topic.
Can
I
just say,
before
we get too far away from Raw, though, I got to give props to the women's division, especially on Raw. They had some time on Monday night. They knocked it out of the park. My God, Alexa Bliss is just, she's so talented. She's young, but her talent is immense. And whenever they get around to doing Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte for the women's championship on whichever brand it is going to be an incredible feud.
They've already set the seeds of that because Alexa talking about, oh, I thought there was a queen around here.
Right.
Well, there is no queen, but I'm a goddess.
Right, right.
And when they did that, it was just like, all right, maybe we've got our match for WrestleMania next year.
Dollar signs, baby. That's what that is right there. Dollar signs.
Dollar signs. Speaking of dollar signs, Billy Corgan bought the NWA this past week.
Biggest news of the year. I mean, NWA, you know, they used to come on Channel 4, local broadcast television in Hickory, North Carolina. So that brand's going places, baby.
Are you ready for the National Wrestling Alliance to take over your wrestling world?
Did you by any chance know or do you know how much he paid for that brand?
Nobody does yet. And that's the big question, that nobody knows exactly what he paid for. And, I mean, when it comes to what he got.
Sure.
Okay. So, there is a live video streaming service with the NWA that, you know, doesn't do too much. I don't believe he got that.
Okay.
But the NWA, obviously, for, you know, old school fans of wrestling, the NWA still has some verbiage to it. It still has some meaning, but it obviously is nowhere close to what it once was. He gets the championship. He gets the NWA name.
Wait, does he become the champion by default for buying the brand?
He doesn't. I mean, he gets the name, he gets the rights, he gets the trademarks, he gets the championship belt. You know, there used to be all these different factions. I mean, you had NWA Florida and NWA whatever, you know, promotional areas. That's basically gone now. It's been gone for a little while.
Well, and people, if they don't remember, NWA was an early partner with TNA. It was NWA colon TNA. Like, that's where TNA was originally established. They broke away from the NWA championship. I think it was around the time Christian Cage was their champion, and the NWA wanted to book the championship one way, and TNA said, no, we want to do this other thing with it. And at that point, TNA built their own championship after that, right?
Well, it was before that. It was the very early days of TNA where they did go off and they made their own championship. But originally, remember, Ken Shamrock and Ron Killings were fighting for the NWA championship in the early days.
Sure.
And then they splintered off. So this would have been like in 2002 they splintered away. That was something that I always wondered about if they would do. Rather than calling the company TNA Wrestling, I wondered if that should have been the NWA. Like, could they have worked out a deal, or could they have bought the NWA? I don't know if they ever could have or not, or how much they would have wanted, because at the time, there were still some people that really thought, well, the NWA still has a lot of meaning, and we could do something with it. And they greatly overvalued it. Like, as much as I enjoyed the NWA from back in the day, it's a damaged brand, but now Billy Corgan owns it. I'll tell you a quick funny story, too. So, previously, we did Between the Ropes on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, Vito was on the show, and Vito DiNucci, and, you know, formerly one half of the New Heavenly Bodies Tag Team Championship, or champions, for the NWA. He was, you know, he was an NWA Tag Team Champion, and, you know, he had wrestled for the NWA for years, and very tight with a lot of different people that worked in the NWA, and there was a period in the mid to late 2000s, I want to say, and the NWA Florida name and trademark was potentially for sale, and he and I thought about actually buying it.
Really?
And yep, it would have been about $5,000. We were wondering, like, I think the guy was trying to sell it for $5,000. Maybe it was a little bit more. Either we thought we could get it for $5,000, or he was trying to get $5,000, and we thought we could get it for less than that. And we sat there and we legitimately thought about buying NWA Florida. We ended up not doing it because we weren't exactly sure what we were going to do with it. Like, are we really going to spend time to promote it? And can we put together shows? Is this going to be a worthwhile venture? Is there any value left in it? So we thought about it, but we ended up not doing it. I kind of wish we had now.
Yeah, all you need to do is buy that name and then put out a TV show every week, NWA Wildside. That's all the fans want.
That sounds easy enough. Why didn't we do that?
All the fans want is the return of NWA Wildside. Do you remember NWA Wildside?
Unfortunately, I do a little bit.
Oh, my God. It was the best. It was like local cable access level quality of pro wrestling that came on, like I said earlier, Channel 4 or whatever it was. And you'd watch it. It was like in the late 90s. And it was your other alternative for whenever you got through watching Raw on Monday nights or, you know, before the days of SmackDown and Thunder. And maybe you watched some ECW, but you watched NWA Wildside. Oh, my God. It was
glorious. You watch a young, up-and-coming AJ Styles make his way through NWA Wildside?
NWA Wildside. Yep. That's it. That's it, brother.
Yeah, he did, man.
Oh, my gosh.
So the question now is, so Billy Corgan owns the NWA, but we don't know exactly what he's going to do with them. I would assume he's going to try to do with them what he wanted to do with TNA, in that, you know, he didn't get TNA, thought he was going to get it, and, you know, he wanted to... He had his own ideas for what is the next thing when it comes to the wrestling business and, like, telling stories, the different avenues to do it, different, you know, just a different way of presenting wrestling. And I would assume that's what he wants to do here, but I have no idea, like, excuse me, does he want to do a TV show? Would everything be online? Or how exactly does he want to utilize this brand in the best way possible?
Who are your talent? Like, who are you going to promote? It's a lot different than TNA, which was pretty much ready-made for him to come in and just enact creatively. There's a lot of building you have to do with NWA because it's not relevant anymore. Before Ring of Honor was big, before TNA kind of took their own path, before all these other indie promotions really marched out there, and before we've kind of redeveloped this interesting... independent, and I hate that word because it sounds belittling, but this independent territorial style system that we have now, NWA had a place, and they don't anymore. So you have to not only reestablish that brand, but reestablish the talent as part of that brand, and then you can tell your creative stories. Because otherwise, without all of that, you're not going to have an audience.
In some ways, I almost wonder if Billy Corgan wants to be involved in the wrestling business, and obviously he does, if buying the NWA isn't going to turn out as a better thing than TNA, depending on what he wants to do with it. From this standpoint, okay, for TNA, obviously you have a television deal, okay? And you have a roster of talent. And I don't know exactly where he's going to get his talent from, considering there's a lot of talent that's out there, but, you know, a lot of them are signed under contracts with various different companies. But at the same thing, TNA is such a damaged brand that you could sit there and you could say, well, the NWA is outdated and, you know, nobody talks about it anymore. But it doesn't have that stink on it right now that TNA does.
That's true. And NWA could really be, because it was treated as a wrestler's brand back in the day, could really be a Ring of Honor part de, if you will, you know?
Oh, absolutely. So let's get to some questions.
Can we just chat one more thing? And I know we got lots of questions to get to. How terrible is the name Great Balls of Fire?
Oh, my God. How have we not talked about this?
Like, is that like an inside joke gone wrong that somebody, like, had something going on in their groin region? And Vince McMahon's like, ah, you got great balls of fire. Hey, that would make a good name. Yeah.
When I told you that they were doing this as a name of a pay-per-view, you thought I was joking.
Yes.
And I was like, no, I am dead serious, man. They are doing a pay-per-view coming up. When is it? June, July?
Yeah, something like that.
They're doing a show called Great Balls of Fire, and Brock Lesnar's going to be on that show to defend the championship, and that's going to be July 9th, and it's going to be in Dallas. So, I mean, before it was called Bad Blood, but now I guess they don't want blood in the name of it, but you can't bring back, like, the Great American Bash, or I don't know what else could have been the options, but Great Balls of Fire
in
is
your house.
Option?
Just bring back In Your House a Tuesday in Texas. Done. Done.
Wait till they come back with September Tutti Frutti. That was going to be a great one.
It just reeks to me of this weird, like, it's like they took generic marketing too far. They said, we need a name that's non-offensive, that, oh, look, this song is funny. This will be perfect. And they went with it. I don't understand how it made it through the layers of processes a company like WWE has. It makes no sense.
Maybe they're just big fans of Jerry Lee Lewis.
I guess. The thing about it, though, Jerry Lee Lewis, right, they're not even going to use that song for this pay-per-view, right? You know what I mean? They're going to use some song from Flo Rida or something. Like, they're not even going to promote it the right way. It's nonsensical. It's a terrible marketing decision. My question is, you know, on Instagram, they always do these little pictures up before the pay-per-views happen. And it's like Fast Lane. Who will live in the Fast Lane? And it's got a picture of Roman Reigns in the Fast Lane. Alexa Bliss, blah, blah, blah. Are they going to do Roman Reigns has great balls of fire? Like, how do you promote this on Instagram? It's weird. Dude, it's real weird.
Who's got great balls of fire? Find out Sunday,
right,
July 9th in Dallas.
My Lord.
Live on the WWE Network.
Is this as bad as the... It's not quite as bad as the Katie Vick storyline or the referee Tim White suicide storyline. Mm. Like, it's better than those, I guess, but only a smidgen better.
Well, it's a little bit more PC than those, at least.
Yeah. Still kind of terrible, though.
Mm. Yeah, it's not good. I mean, who actually said, you know what, I got this great idea, Vince? And Vince goes, I like it. Let's do it.
Vince McMahon said it. I'm telling you, that is a Vince McMahon decreed idea right there. That's exactly what that is.
Do you think that Vince was working out one day and somebody, like, turned him on to, like, Spotify or something?
Yes.
And he, like, did a search. And next thing you know, some Jerry Lee Lewis came on. He goes, I love this song, Great Balls of Fire. I think I got a name for a pay-per-view. We can't use Bad Blood. We don't like blood in the name. Let's go with Great Balls of Fire. Yeah. Rah. Balls.
Rah. Well, at least that means in the future we will get titles based off of AC/DC songs, which could be awesome. Thunderstruck would be an awesome pay-per-view title.
Thunderstruck, Highway to Hell.
Yep.
I'm going to say they don't do a whole lot of Rosie. But I mean, they've got some other ones they can come up with.
It could work. I like it.
Let's go to questions. So you can send us questions on Twitter. It's hashtag AskBTR. You can send them to us via email. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com. And we also put up a post on our Facebook page at facebook.com/between the ropes so we can leave questions.
I want to throw this out there, too. If you've got, I feel like I'm over talking to you a lot tonight, Brian. I have so much to say, so much I want to share with the world. If you have stories, we like stories, too. Send those to btrmailbag as well. We'll maybe chime in with something. So there you go.
Maybe we'll do story time each week, you know?
Mikey and Fritzy. So you got it.
Here's a question that is specialized for you, Mike.
Oh, awesome.
Our friends, the RNC Wrestling Show,
yes,
want to know, can Wiseman tell us any more jokes?
Oh, my God. I'm kind of like fresh out of jokes. What was it? I heard a joke
You told two, and then you stopped it. You were going to do this every week.
Well, you ruined my segment. We were also going to do Guesselmania every week and Guesselslamia or whatever it was. Have I told the...
But WrestleMania already came and gone, so yeah. We don't need to do WrestleMania.
I don't have any jokes in my back pocket right now other than to say something like TNA Wrestling, but, you know, that's always a good one. I don't have
that's
any jokes.
Weak. You need to come up with a joke.
I will have jokes back on the radar next week. I know I have jokes, but I can't remember what I've told and what I've not told. So next week, just for you guys, we are bringing back the joke segment of the week.
Sure. I'll let you do it.
Yes.
At least for 1 week.
At least for one week. Oh, great.
Redneck Turtle Gaming.
Yes.
Says, is SmackDown's women's division struggling due to its lack of faces? Is now a good time to call up Asuka to give it that boost? Well, they have two main faces right now, and that would be Becky Lynch and Naomi. And you can make the argument that maybe they're going to turn Charlotte. I don't know if they're actually going to turn Charlotte or if she's just going to kind of be this person that's out there on an island. I guess maybe the end game would do that, even though I think that would be a massive mistake to turn Charlotte, considering she's been this red hot heel. And then I know you want to make her the face of SmackDown when it comes to women's division, but she needs to do it as a heel. I don't know if now would be the time for Asuka. I mean, I'm all for Asuka coming up to the main roster, but I don't know if they necessarily need to do it right now. There's not like this mode of desperation.
It's simple, Brian. What you do, I don't think we need Asuka yet. The lack of faces can be kind of fixed by reestablishing Becky Lynch to a certain extent, but... let's see here. So who do we have on SmackDown that could be faces? We have Naomi, right?
Yeah.
So you reestablish Becky Lynch. You set her up for a feud with Charlotte. That feud culminates at SummerSlam. Becky Lynch emerges victorious, which reestablishes her as the go-to women's face on SmackDown. And Charlotte's pretty much impenetrable at this point. She's undamageable. So she moves on to something else. And then you set up Becky Lynch versus Asuka. Asuka comes up as a heel. That's the best way to do it. Done. Done.
Bring her up as a heel,
yep.
Huh?
Yep.
I was going to ask this. There's one question. I apologize. I'm going to skip because it's more about the Vince McMahon upcoming movie Pandemonium, where he's asking us who we think would play different roles.
I love the suggestions we've gotten on social media already, for the record. They have been fantastic.
If people want to give us some suggestions, here's the people we're looking for roles for, okay? Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, Linda McMahon, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Jimmy Snuka.
Yep.
Okay? And Stephanie McMahon. I'm going to throw that one out there as well.
Okay.
So I want those six, because they're going to play big roles in this movie. Tim Clements, our good buddy Tim, says, any chance Fandango and Prince Pretty, a.k.a. Tyler Breeze, going to run with the tag titles? Yeah, I think there actually is. I think Breezango could get a little bit of a push here. I don't know if they're going to win it right now, but if they want another tag team that actually has guys that can work a bit, and they need tag teams for the SmackDown brand, then yeah, maybe they could do something with those guys.
Yeah, it's a good time for them. Obviously, American Alpha has been in that picture a little bit, but they're not... depending on what you do next, I think... they are the go-to. Breezango is the kind of overlooked and underrated. So these guys could have a fun little run. It would be something different. It would be something unique. More importantly, I would hope it would lead to them elevating Tyler Breeze and Fandango as individual stars. I'm not convinced it's going to happen, but that would be where I hope they would take it eventually.
Well, you know I am not going to complain if my boy Tyler Breeze gets a push.
Yes. I know. You love you some Pretty, don't you? You love you some Pretty.
Dude, he's still awesome, man. Uh-huh. Come on. I thought, by the way, I was surprised like a week or two ago, you're calling them Breezango. I thought they were going to call him the Fashion Police.
Oh, yeah. That would have been perfect. That would have been awesome.
Because they write tickets for people that violate fashion code.
Right.
And things like that. But and that's something that Prince Pretty has done, but... they're not going with that.
Can we go to WrestleMania next year, Brian, and cosplay as the Fashion Police?
Ooh.
You and me.
If my pecs are fully developed by then, yes.
You can be Fandango. I think you could pull off the Fandango role, and I could pull off Tyler Breeze pretty well.
I don't know if I could pull off any. I don't.
God, it would be great.
I,
Oh, man.
I feel like I'm closer to pulling off Haystacks Calhoun than I am Fandango.
Wow, there you go for a reference.
Maybe I'll be playing Dusty Rhodes. I don't know. Let's get to some Facebook questions. Bill Dixon says, couple of questions. What are your thoughts on the rumors that WWE will run a network special head-to-head against New Japan Pro Wrestling shows in Long Beach? Does it show WWE's concern? Could this damage the New Japan shows? I would say if WWE wants to do that, you know, I guess I can't blame them for it, but those shows are already sold out.
Right.
And by the way, they probably could have done those in bigger buildings. I think each show only has a couple thousand people, but it's not going to hurt the local ticket sales. When it comes to an audience for New Japan Pro Wrestling World, maybe it could hurt them there a little bit. But the thing is, I mean, it's a streaming thing. So if people aren't watching it live, they could watch it back. You know, if they subscribe to New Japan World, they could watch it after the WWE show or the next day.
Or they could watch the WWE show later. I mean, that's almost the better option at that point.
Exactly. So I don't think it's really going to hurt them. I mean, I understand what the thinking would be, but I mean, if WWE wants to do another show up against them, and even in the same market, it's not going to hurt the New Japan show. It's already sold out.
I don't think it makes any sense for them to do it. I mean, if they did it, it would almost feel petty. Like, yeah, we're competing with New Japan, but we want to really show our competition that we're still boss. So,
well, this is New Japan's first show,
right.
a New Japan show in the United States, and this is WWE territory. So maybe it's like, hey, we want to do something so where all the buzz isn't on you. We're at least stealing some of your buzz, which I understand from a business standpoint if they want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't need to, though. I mean, I don't think at this point New Japan has anything to write home about for WWE. The audiences feel so different in my mind that, But, yeah, I don't think it affects either show. Both shows will basically get the same people watching it. In fact, I would almost argue it would hurt the WWE show more than it would hurt the New Japan show because we're oversaturated with WWE content right now. New Japan... Well, you bring them over, that's something new and fresh and exciting for American fans' eyes for the most part.
Aiden Reichardt asks, do you think Billy Corgan buying the NWA was a smart move for him? I feel he wants to have a TV deal or he would have gone back to Resistance Pro. With the likes of WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, and New Japan on TV, what network would ever give Corgan's NWA a chance? Mm. Well, that's the thing. I don't know if he's looking to get a traditional TV deal. He might be saying, I want to do something online. Maybe he makes a deal with YouTube. Maybe it's with another streaming service. I don't know. And maybe he does want to have a TV deal because, you know, he knows the different people that work in entertainment. And maybe that would be something that he's got the right contacts and he can put together the right business model that they would be interested in giving him a TV deal. I don't know where that is right now. There's a lot of hurdles to get to that, but I think he's trying to think of a new, updated, non-traditional way to put on a wrestling show that differentiates what he's doing from everybody else. So I don't know if that means traditional TV.
Do you think, did he get access to the NWA tape library?
No.
Okay. Well.
It's gone.
I was going to say, because there's some streaming options there. But otherwise, you bought this name. Yeah, there's lots of ways to deliver your content nowadays. Hell, he could form a partnership with Hulu. They're going to be doing some live broadcasting. So
exactly.
You know, he has ways to get that out there. TV deals are valued by sports and entertainment, but it's obvious a company like WWE values their ability to stream their own content a lot more than they value, I wouldn't say more, but almost as much as they value TV deals because they basically cut out their pay-per-view revenues in favor of the WWE network. So they have an eye on the future, and as more properties and brands start heading that way, I think his investment into an online streaming service for this company is going to make a lot more sense.
Matt Ellis asks, do you guys see a trend with most of the faces in WWE? For example, when Seth Rollins was a heel, his promos and attitude were a little more vicious. When he turned face, it seemed to shift to a cookie cutter, pandering to the crowd type of character. Do you see anything that WWE could do with these baby faces that doesn't make them so cookie cutter and more like their heel personas of the past? I think that they can still be snarky and smarmy and everything like they were with heels, but they're just simply have different opponents. You know, there is something to that argument, like baby faces just don't have an edge. You know, especially because, I mean, we've seen that with Roman Reigns. We're seeing it a little bit now with Seth Rollins. So you can make that argument. I think that they can stay a little bit more closer to their heel personas. They're just not cheating as much.
Right.
And they probably have different opponents.
Well, that was a classic way you made guys, in the Attitude Era especially, you made guys good guys by putting them up. It's the classic TV archetype, right? Bad guys don't look so bad when there's somebody worse than them. Lots of TV shows, The Sopranos, Sons of Anarchy, all these shows exist in this realm where, yeah, these are some bad guys, but just it's okay because the dudes they're up against are way, way, way worse than they are. So, you know, that's what you need to do with somebody like our new age baby faces is just make the guys they're fighting cheat a little bit more. They're a little bit meaner. They're a little bit edgier. They hate the fans just a smidgen more. That's what you got to do.
We'll take a couple more questions here. We'll just run through them really quick.
Sure.
Lincoln Jefferson asks, what was your favorite part of the House of Horrors match? I would say
when it ended. Yeah.
Where do you think the best promotion for Cody is to call home? That's from Nick Davies. I would say Ring of Honor with him still working some New Japan shows.
Ring of Honor is great. I would love to see, I think I would love to see him do more overseas stuff. I think New Japan could be home for a little while. I think that gives him a better, Ring of Honor's good, but going over to New Japan and owning that scene is going to set him up for a WWE return in the near future better than being in Ring of Honor for the next 2 to 3 years.
Do you like the new Finn Balor shirts? That's from Todd Cunningham. Yeah, the BC shirts. Yeah. I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
Let's see. What are your overall impressions? This is from Nick Davies again. So, Nick, you got a second one. What are your overall impressions of Impact since the new ownership took charge? Oh, boy.
Does that come across on the radio? That's a raspberry. I'm blowing a raspberry right now. It's terrible.
Let's see. Let's get to some from Francis.
Oh, yeah. Francis. There we go.
Yeah.
Total Divas. Have not watched it yet, Francis. Don't you worry.
I'm still waiting for our appearance on there when we're going to start being the stars of Total Divas.
Start being the stars of Total Divas.
Yeah, man, we're taking it over. They're going to be sending us residuals. What was worse, the Kennel from Hell or the House of Horror
Kennel
match?
From Hell.
Oh, Kennel from Hell.
God.
Dear Lord. You had dogs taking a whiz around the ring, man.
Right.
Come on, dude.
Right. It literally is called the Kennel from Hell. It was terrible. And it was between Al Snow and the Big Boss Man. So there you go.
Right.
There
and
you go.
Al Snow in it. When do you think we will see John Cena returning to WWE television? I would say early August.
Yeah. They'll have him back in time for SummerSlam, or at least he'll do something for SummerSlam since it is their biggest show of the summer.
Did Mike get the Marine 5 yet?
No, I've been traveling for work. Actually, I'm going to go back when I get to my hotel tonight, because I don't know if we covered this. I'm recording this in the car. When I get to my hotel tonight, I'm going to go and either digitally purchase or at least digitally rent the Marine 5 so I can watch it just for you.
Jeez. We want a review next week.
Next week,
on the
expect
show.
It. Next week will be my exclusive review of the Marine 5.
I appreciate that. Uh-huh. And so will Mike the Miz.
I'm going to tweet him about it and maybe interview him about it, too. That's what I'm going to do.
I don't know if you're allowed to be within like 500 yards of him.
The restraining order is coming through. I do know I scared Maurice quite a bit. But, you know.
Oh, no, you still scared the bejesus out of that poor girl.
Oh, man. Greatest moment of my life. Well, only slightly above my wedding. So there you go.
So. Hey, man, I make dreams come true,
but
I told you you'd be talking to The Miz, and you did talk to The Miz. We appreciate everybody for sending in those questions. Like Mike said at the beginning, he will be off the road next week,
yep.
And we'll be back to doing the show live on video. So that will be next Thursday, just because of my schedule on Wednesday night. I have work that night, but we'll be doing it on Thursday. We're trying to get a regular schedule of Wednesdays. Just our schedules are kind of weird, but be on the lookout for that coming up here within the next couple of weeks. We'll probably be doing the show every Wednesday night, and we'll always put out the link to where people can watch it live. So just follow us on social media for that. You can go at Between the Ropes on Twitter. I'm at Brian Fritz. Michael is at The Real Wiseman. And you can also check out the Facebook page. We always put it up there as well. That's facebook.com/betweentheropes. A reminder to everybody, subscribe to the podcast. Please rate and review us as well. We appreciate any kind of feedback that you want to give us, and give us those fancy stars that you can give us as well.
Six stars.
On iTunes.
Six stars.
Yes. I want seven, actually. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, the TuneIn app, and we're on SoundCloud as well. All those great different places that you can get the podcast. There is no reason for you to not be subscribing to the podcast. And you can subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Just go to youtube.com/betweentheropes. So, Mike, enjoy the road.
Thanks, man.
I'll talk to you next week, man. And we'll make sure that we get a nice adult beverage in next week for the show, too.
Looking forward to it. That's all I need in my life.
I know you're very thirsty. So thanks again, everybody. We appreciate the support, and we will talk to you next week. Between the Ropes.